Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to continue on in our series, Walking in the Power. This will be part three. And we want to build upon the last two. And we want to talk more, maybe to some of the more advanced listeners, you know, who are ready to move on. Of course, you know, as the Lord leads us, we will speak to the different people who are listening, because we never know what, I want to say never know, we often don't always know what God wants to say to who he wants to say it to, because we pray in advance before we start our podcast that God will lead us by his Spirit. And matter of fact, Jesus walked that same way when they asked him, you know, about healing and the things he were doing. He said in John chapter 5, he said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, the Son does in likewise manner. And so we want to follow that same protocol, you know, in terms of whatever the Lord wants us to speak on, whenever he wants us to interject between me and my sweetheart here. And of course, I want to introduce her once again and let her give her introductions and say hello to everybody as we get started here.
Hi, everyone. God, may the Lord continue to bless you. A little tongue-tied there. He is so good and he is so wonderful. God has an amazing, amazing message for you today. And I know that as we ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, the Lord will continue to do so. It's a great, great topic. It's a great theme. These words are not words from man. These are the words of the Lord that we find in the Bible. So open up the ears of your heart and let's continue to be enriched.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. And, you know, you just said something very important. It's not words of man. Now, somebody said, yeah, okay, that sounds all spiritual and everything. You guys think you're really something hot stuff. No, it's not really that. The way we see it is this, that as we pray before we do the podcast or the broadcast, whichever one you want to call it, is that we seek the Lord's leading and direction. And we see the scriptures here. And I'm going to read this from John chapter 7, where Jesus says in verse, let me back up here, I'm on the wrong page. He says here in verse 37 and 38, says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, because the next verse in verse 39, it says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And we want to really emphasize this right here. And it in relation to this topic of walking in the Spirit or walking in the power. How are we going to walk in the power apart from God? How are we going to walk in the power apart from the Holy Spirit abiding on the inside of us, doing the work through us? Jesus said in John chapter 5, and I'm going to turn back to that real quick here. John chapter 5. Let me see here. Let me get my glasses on. Yeah, it's good to admit sometimes you need some extra help here, right? So he says here, this is after he cured this man who was in this condition for 38 years, you know, sitting by the pool of Bethesda.
Right.
And, of course, after he had been healed, you know, the Jews saw it all the more, you know, they were, you know, after Jesus, you know, they're always questioning Jesus, everything he'd done, everything he was doing. You know, it seems like as we watched the Chosen series, it was interesting. It seems like the Pharisees was everywhere Jesus was. It's like they were just falling around looking for anything they could to accuse him, to find fault with him.
Yeah.
And when he spoke about the works that he did, he says this in verse 19. And I find this one of the most profound things that he said. He said, and this is in John chapter 5, verse 19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And then if you go down to verse 30, he says, I can of myself do nothing. He repeats this again. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the Father, the will of the Father who is in me. And I find this interesting because you hear people, Christians even say, well, there's not anything that Jesus couldn't do. If he wanted to heal this person, he wanted to heal that person, he could do it. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he actually says that he can do nothing of himself, what he sees the Father do. Now, what is that? What are we getting at here? What we're getting at is that he came to the earth being the Son of God, eternally dwelling in heaven with the Father from all eternity, because he always was and always is. You know, he is the Word of God. But when he came to earth, he stripped himself and took on the form of a man and allowed himself to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I believe a lot of that is for the purpose of demonstrating to us how he wanted us to live, to model an example for us to live, that he not only lived by the Holy Spirit, but he received the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when he received the Holy Spirit, then he was led by the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we're talking about doing by this topic of walking in the power. We're talking about walking in the power that lives on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit, by being in subjection to him, surrender to him, to follow his will. And there's, you know, maybe two or three veins that I want to talk about here in terms of that. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, the works that I do, you shall do also. And greater things than these shall you do because I go to my Father. So one of the things he was talking about was also demonstrating the working of miracles, healings, and deliverances that he also did on earth, and greater things than these. And I, you know, try to imagine that. Jesus raised three people from the dead. He healed multitudes of diseases and even incurable diseases that had no hope. A man born blind, he healed him. And the man even testified before the Pharisees and said that it's not even been known that anyone's ever been healed of blindness who was born blind. And so Jesus is talking about us doing the works that he did and greater things than these. He raised Lazarus from the dead after being dead for 4 days. But then also, as we're talking about, as it says in, as he said in John chapter 7, you know, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. One of the ways I see that and learn that that means is also the words of life that he would speak. And in one way, of course, we know that when he spoke like Lazarus come forth from the grave, those were words of living water. They produced life. They brought him back from the dead. But also we're talking about words of life in terms of encouragement, words that bring people hope, that change their course of life, their direction. You know, things that he even spoke about repentance, about turning their life around and serving God and doing what is right. He talked about, you know, things of that nature. So he talked about many things, but he also demonstrated many things. So we see that through the rivers of living water of the Holy Spirit abiding in us, that God intends for many things to take place and change in people's lives. And so another aspect that applies to the change that can be affected in one's own life, who has the Holy Spirit in them. You, if you receive the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit living inside of you, God living inside of you, can change and so transform your own life where what you struggled with, whether it was sin or some kind of addiction or some kind of weakness and in inheritance that you received, generational curses, you know, like, well, diabetes runs in the family, you know, or whatever it might be. God can change that through the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. And I know for myself that the things that I used to struggle with that I thought, well, I can never overcome this. When I saw in the scripture that through the divine nature, we're talking about God on the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, as it says in 2 Peter, matter of fact, I think I'm going to read that next. And, of course, whenever you're ready, sweetheart, you can jump in here.
Well, as you're looking for that next verse, I was thinking, can you imagine how beautiful it would be, or it is, when we as Christians can teach our younger generations this truth about walking in the power. You know how little children, as young as they are, they're always talking about being powerful and I'm stronger. And there's like this hunger for power, right? So can you imagine how beautiful and the great responsibility that parents, leaders, teachers, pastors, ministers, educators have, and the impact that we would have with the little ones as they're growing up, with the adolescents, with the teenagers, that they're always looking for something that will make them feel valuable, important. Can you imagine the impact for them to know that the Holy Spirit himself, the power that is within, once they are believers, born again Christians, that they actually have? This is a truth that we cannot keep for ourselves, and we cannot cheat our children from learning at a very young age. This will change their lives and their walk.
Yes, that's absolutely true, sweetheart. You know, I know when I was a child, you know, we had this fixation on superheroes, right. You know, Superman, right. Spider-Man, and now today we've got so many that you can't even already name them because there's so many of them. But there is this fascination with power, right. Supernatural power. And, you know, as you were saying, with them being trained and taught in the correct way, through the biblical way, they can be taught how to harness, in a sense, you know, if you might say that word, that power that's in us. You know, of course, we don't control it on our own, but being able to understand how it works through understanding God's nature and his character and what he wants to do through us, and basically right. yielding to him so that he can work through us and in us. And it will be life transforming, for ourselves as well as for others. And as I was going to reference here in 2 Peter chapter 1, which was very profound in changing and transforming my life, and it says here in verse 2, and I'm going to read down here to verse 4. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." Now think about that just for a minute. This might be somebody reading and saying, "Oh, that's, you know, a lot of these scriptures we read just sound so spiritual, but has no application in my life." But it does. Think about this. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." How? "In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." Now, that's, you know, if you will meditate on that, God will begin to unfold to you spiritual truths that will become real to you that can be applied to your everyday life. Because the next verse really, I see, kicks in here. What he's saying here is, "by which we've been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might be partakers of the divine nature."
Amen.
Wow. That's God living inside you, him That's living amazing. In you, his nature living in you to what? Help you overcome your fallen nature, our fallen nature that has a tendency to always fall short, to sin, to never measure up, to never be able to overcome. We need this divine nature. It says, "whereby we be given to us these exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature, escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust." Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when somebody hears the word lust, they oftentimes think sexual lust. But it can be lust for anything. It can be lust for power. It can be lust for money. It can be lust for, you know, attention. It can be lust for any number of things. But that lust is part of the fallen nature that tends to lead us in a direction that doesn't profit us, doesn't help us. We need the divine nature in order to what? As he said, "as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, whereby we've been given exceeding great and precious promises." What promises? The promises of life and life more abundantly, the promise of health and healing, the promise of strength and energy. You know, sometimes we struggle with different things, and we need God's power to help us to overcome these things so that we can achieve and accomplish all that God has purposed for us to achieve and accomplish. It's not just simply the sin nature itself that, well, we need to overcome sin. Obviously, most Christians know this already, that they're struggling with sin. They need God's power to help them overcome sin. But what about things that's just weaknesses? What about things that's just inabilities? You know, you look at somebody and say, well, look at this guy. You know, Elon Musk. This guy's got such great abilities to do so many things and make so much money. And it ain't just necessarily about the money. It's the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah. You say, well, I don't have any abilities to do anything. I barely can get by making minimum wage, you know, or mm-hmm. working two minimum wage jobs just to make barely enough money, a living to, you know, support my family and scraping by. Why can't I have a gift or a talent or ability to be able to do those things? And see, what God is talking about is bringing us out of poverty, but the poverty starts with the spirit, where we're impoverished in our spirit to not recognize our need for a Savior and salvation. Of course, this brings us back to our basic message, first and foremost, that if we're going to walk in the power, we're going to walk in the purpose that God has for us. That purpose first starts with that relationship with the Lord. So having that relationship, what we're talking about now in this particular podcast is building upon that and being able to go up higher and becoming all that God has for us to be and to accomplish. And we cannot do that without the power of God living on the inside of us, whether it's the words that we're going to speak to help others, whether it's the nature of God in us to change and transform us, or whether it's the power of God through miracles and healings and deliverances that's going to raise up other people and get them out of their impoverished situation. So what we're talking about here is a many-faceted thing concerning walking in the power. So this is what I'm really trying to get across here, is it's not just one thing. It's not just, well, I have the power to raise the dead or to heal the sick. What about having the power to overcome temptation, overcoming weakness, those things that are stumbling blocks? You know, we're even told in scriptures about that there are not only sin that easily besets us. I think this is in Hebrews chapter 12, if I remember right. Let me turn to that real quick.
Well, as you're looking for that verse as well, you know, it is so humbling to know that God always wants the absolute best for us. Remember that when he had a plan of salvation, he didn't send an angel. He didn't have somebody else come. He had the absolute best, and the absolute best was Jesus, right? His son. And so a life, an abundant life, walking in the power, God has a plan for us, and it's the absolute best that we can have. And what is that absolute best? It's having the Holy Spirit in us. So I'm saying that because God is so good that he gives us his own spirit. He gives us himself, and that is not something for us to take lightly. You know, when as you're speaking, I can only imagine that some people are probably thinking, I'm just a Christian. I'm just a regular Christian. And that's good. I just want to know that one day I'm going to go to heaven. That's okay. And that is good, of course. That is very good, a very good hope. And it could, because it's a promise and it's yours if you already gave your heart to the Lord. But there is a reason why God has given us the Holy Spirit. There is a reason why he is making known to us that there is an abundant life available. There is a reason why he's letting us know that without him himself inside of us, we don't have the best life. Our best life, the best chance that we have of walking in power, of walking in victory, of walking in hope, of walking with a vision, of walking with joy, everything that comes with God is having God himself. It's having God himself. As you said before, you can have many different possessions, but unless we have God, we don't have anything. So I'm saying that once again, just to reiterate the importance of why are you taking the time, Keith, to share about the power, walking in the power? Why? Isn't it enough just that we're Christians and we're going to heaven? Some people may be asking that. Or is this power really available for me? Do I have the right to even dream about walking in this power? Once again, God has your best interest in mind. So why is he even making the Holy Spirit available to us, not just as an external fountain, but internal fountain of power inside of us? It's because this is very important, and it comes together with salvation.
Amen, sweetheart, that's beautiful. And just as you were sharing that, I was thinking about how, you know, God creates human beings from scratch, you might say. You know, here we are coming from a sperm and an egg, right?
That's right.
And we didn't create ourselves.
No.
Matter of fact, I'm it blows my mind to think how that sperm and egg starts turning into an embryo into a baby, into a child. And as a baby
That's
grows,
right.
you know, an adolescent, a teenager, an adult, all the things
Everything.
That change and transform over time in that human being.
Think about the brain. Think about the complexity and the beauty of the eyes, right?
Even the bones grow.
Oh, my
right?
gosh.
The skull grow. Everything, the organs grow, you
Trillions
know, in proportion
of cells.
To how they're supposed to be when
right.
they're an adult.
Right.
And yet, while we're growing as a child, we're learning, absorbing like a sponge things around us in the
right.
world and learning. And yet all these things are taking place inside of us, growing without our knowledge of how it even works. And yet here we are questioning life as if somehow we can figure it all out as we get adult. You know, because, you know, you always hear that, you know, teenagers often think they have it all together. They think they know everything.
Right.
You know, but yet same thing really happens when we become adults. Well, now we've learned the lessons of life, and we've grown and learned many things, so now we know. And yet, we still, for many of us, and I'm not talking about us right now, but I'm just talking about in general, about human beings, think they can live without God. It was God that formed them in the mother's womb.
That's
it was
right.
God that created them, gave them a liver, kidneys, heart, lungs.
That's beating.
You know, and it, you know, I saw my heart beat on a, what is it, echocardiogram, you know, machine. And I was seeing the little valve open up and close, open up and close where the
wow.
heart was beating. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
And you had
if that
nothing
thing,
to do with that.
Yeah, nothing ever were to stop.
Hmm.
It's over.
That's it.
God keeps that thing opening, closing,
wow.
blood going in, blood coming out, you know, continually. Through our whole life. But if it stops and it's not restarted, it's over.
It's over.
And yet we don't see our dependency and
That's
need for
amazing.
God
it's very
as
humbling.
Human beings.
Yeah.
And so what I've learned over the years is a total dependency on a need for God and the Holy Spirit that he's given, because the scripture clearly tells us that he has given the Holy Spirit to abide within us. He even says in John mm-hmm. chapter 14 and John chapter 16 talks about the Spirit of Truth, you know, the Comforter. You know, I'm going to mix these two verses together in a way because I want to get to Hebrews chapter 12 here, where he says that the Spirit of Truth whom the world cannot receive, this is John 14, 12, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him nor sees him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Then he says the Spirit of Truth also right, will guide you into all truth.
Amen.
He will teach you all things, bring
yes.
to your remembrance all things that he mm-hmm. you know he has said to
he's
us.
Spoken.
Right. So he's there to remind us.
Beautiful.
He's there to guide us into all truth. He's there to guide us into the affairs of life because he knows everything. He knows everything from eternity past to eternity future. And he knows what the next day holds. He knows how to lead and guide our lives and to bring us to the place of being able to follow his plan for our lives, because he knows how to navigate our lives. Who else knows that besides God? Who else knows what tomorrow's going to be, the next day, the next year, the next decade? Who knows all these things and knows why he even created
yes.
us and for what purpose we're here?
And who loves us like God? No one.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He loves us so much. That's right.
You know, so when we talk about the power of God, We need the power of God in our lives to help guide us, to help direct us, to help us to fulfill the calling and to become equipped to fulfill the calling that He's called us to, where we can help others, whatever it might be.
That's right.
And as we read here in Hebrews 12, which I was getting at a little earlier, it says, therefore we also, Hebrews 12, 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, back here in verse 1, it's talking about letting us lay aside every weight. You know, sometimes we don't even know what weights we got on us.
That's,
you know,
true.
I remember, you know, back in 94, when I first got delivered from 93 and 94, different things that happened when I was getting delivered from things that was oppressing me, demonic spirits. When I felt them things leave, I felt a weight leave me that was weighing me down in certain areas of my life. And some people don't even know. I remember a gang member talking about this. He was either one of the Bloods or the Crips out in Los Angeles. And he was talking about, well, maybe it was one of the Mexican gangs too. I don't remember. Anyway, but it was one of the gang members out in L.A. He was talking about how the fact that, he said, we had it so in our mind that this territory from this street to this street belonged to us. Like this, we owned this, like it was ours. He said, but when I was in prison and I got saved, he said it was like a cloud lifted off his mind. And all of a sudden he was in his right mind. He began to think, what? We didn't own these streets. These didn't belong to us. What would make me think that we should go kill somebody just because they crossed over a certain intersection to come into our territory when none of this belonged to any of us? You know, so in his mind, of course, you know, this is kind of going on a tangent here, how evil spirits can oppress people and weigh them down, and how thought processes as well.
It puts veils on your brains, on your eyes, on your understanding.
And that's exactly what he said it was, like this veil, weight lifted off of him, and he could see. And see, we can, you know, apart from even the devil, we can have some of those veils even on our own heart and mind because of our own stubbornness or our own, unwillingness to believe or submit to God. Because some people just don't want to submit to God because they don't want to surrender their will to His will. But they don't seem to realize they're living in a world where there's evil. And if they're not in God's kingdom, they're automatically in Satan's kingdom because there's only two kingdoms
only
in the world.
Two. That's right.
They don't get to be independent and say, well, I don't want to be in God's will, but I don't have to be in the devil's either. No, they're in one or the other, and that's just the way it is. You know, they're born into this world, and this world, either Satan is the ruler or Jesus is ruler, and we got to decide which one we want to be a part of. But anyway, saying all that to say this, that we're not going to overcome anything in life without the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, being born again, because you can't have the Holy Spirit in you unless you've been born again. So, you know, I would tell people, don't ever pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in you if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you may get some other spirit pretending to be the Holy Spirit, because you have to come by the way of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Him. So, as far as what I had to share in this broadcast, sweetheart, I'm pretty much done. And I will turn it over to you and let you do your thing, sweet.
Well, we always want to extend the invitation because it is so good as Christians that we are discipled. The truth that you share through the Word of God, it's so enriching. And I know that I can speak for myself. I've definitely grown and I continue to grow. I could have heard a verse that you've read 100 times prior, but once you hear it again, the Holy Spirit just continues to add to the revelation that you already have. So we continue to grow. So I am sure that I'm speaking for a lot of people, a lot of listeners, that these podcasts are so enriching. We continue to grow and be discipled in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because that's what the Holy Spirit does in us. But we also know that there may be people who are listening that have never given their heart to Jesus. And this is extremely important. This is a very important matter, because John 3:16 says that God so loved the world, and that's referring to the people that are born in the world. If you are a person that has been born into this world, this applies to you. That God so loved you that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him, so that person, you, can have eternal life. Why? Because we were all born separated from the Lord because of sin. But the good news is that we don't have to die that way. The Lord has made a way through Jesus Christ so that we can be reconciled to the Father forever and ever. So we want to extend that invitation. You don't have to wait until Sunday to go to church. This is something that you can do wherever you are. You don't have to be in a church. You can be in a hospital, in jail, under a bridge, wherever you are, driving to work. You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins. You say, Jesus, I accept what you've done on the cross for me. I do believe, I accept that you are the Son of God. I give you my heart, forgive me, and I receive your life. And it's more than just a prayer. It's an encounter that you have with Jesus Christ, but he will listen to the unbeliever when the unbeliever cries out to him and asks for forgiveness. And guess what? He will give you a brand new life. He will make you a brand new person. And that's only the Holy Spirit that can start that process of transformation. So that is very good news. Give your heart to the Lord and you will never, ever be the same.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. So we'll end this broadcast here, and we thank all for listening, and we hope to talk to you again.
That's right. We'll talk to you soon. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.